What's going on? This is Hoppy Hour. I am your host, Ryan Hoppy. And from WLS 890 AM in Chicago, Bruce St. James is on the show. What's going on, Bruce?
You make it sound big. I appreciate that. It is a big deal, isn't it?
It is. How is the transition to Chicago? Because I've been following your social media. I was a big Man Cow fan growing up, and I liked Chicago radio. So, and then it seemed like you weren't a big fan of the cold weather. So how has everything been in Chicago?
Well, first off, can we back up?
Yeah.
Chicagoans aren't fans of the cold weather, as far as I can tell.
Oh, I moved out. That's why I left, bro. I was from Arlington Heights, man. I got the hell out of Illinois.
Yeah, especially when you have to walk to work like I do, and there's two, three feet of snow on the ground, and the plows haven't come by yet. I'm like, wait a minute, whose idea was this? I'll acknowledge that moving to Chicago in December might not have been the smartest move, but hey, it's 80 degrees today. I ain't complaining anymore. I got past the rough part, and I think it's all good, but it's been a really interesting, needless to say. I mean, I've never kind of lived in a downtown like this. I live in one of the high rises. I walk to work. It's an adventure unto itself aside from the job.
So what's the biggest transition from going from Phoenix? Because I've never been to Phoenix. So what's the biggest difference between Phoenix and Chicago besides the weather?
Chicago is much more diverse. You really get a sense of a bit of a melting pot. You know, apologize to the other melting pot cities. But, I mean, from the people you bump into on street corners to your Uber driver to restaurants you go to, I mean, it's like the United Nations. There are people from all over the place, people from places I didn't know were places. You know, I'm learning about the countries and cities around the world. Phoenix isn't quite like that, needless to say, I think is a fair way to put it. But, I enjoy that. I love meeting new people from different places and learning about it. And we talk about restaurants. What a culinary treat this place is, with literally everything you can think of under the sun. And by the way, most of it within walking distance of where I live.
Well, you know what's funny for me? I'm from like the northwest suburbs, so I maybe went to Chicago 25 times in 21 years, like not that often. So like all these experiences of like going to Chicago, man, like whenever I talk to friends about like, oh, where are you from? I'm like, oh, I'm from Chicago. And they're like, oh, what's it like? I'm like, I don't know. I never left the suburbs. Like it's so bizarre, Bruce, to think about how massive the Chicagoland area is. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's something, you know, that from a radio standpoint, being a radio host, I have to be aware of. That where I'm living, you know, literally downtown Chicago, Streeterville, Loop, etc., is not all of Chicago. There's a heck of a lot more Chicago. And as a matter of fact, WLS can be heard in, I think it's 17 states in Canada, everything. You know, we have people who, like you, maybe never set foot in the Chicago proper, but listen to us every day. And so it's important for me. And I've been getting out and checking out Evanston and Schaumburg and, you know, going to all these different places and trying to kind of get a feel for it. But, yeah, it is a massive, massive place.
Have you been to Woodfield Mall since you went to Schaumburg?
I did not. Did I miss the mall when I went there?
Dude, it's like the best mall in America. Like, forget about Mall of America, which I've never been to. It's just like a nice mall. Like, it does well in business. Like, there's not that many empty shops. It's right by the Cheesecake Factory and the Comedy Club over there off of 53.
Isn't everything right by a Cheesecake Factory in a mall? I think almost everything is. It's kind of like you could give it as a uniform way of directions.
That's one thing that Chicago has going for it that like St. Pete for me does not have going for it. And I don't know about Phoenix, but like the malls in Chicago and the shopping experience, even if you're just going out to get a new pair of shoes, the way things are built and like the way the roads are, it's more fun going shopping in Illinois than it is, let's say, Florida or Arizona, I would guess.
Well, and also, you know, again, I feel very lucky now. I don't mean to rub it into you after your 25 years here, but I'm walking distance from the Mag Mile. You know, I've got all these shops and everything, and I've got a couple malls in the area. Like I said, I don't even have a car here yet, and I haven't found a need for one. I can walk around And if I can't buy it or walk in and order it somewhere, I probably don't need it. I mean, I'm just smack dab, it feels like, in the middle of everything. And that's kind of cool. You know, it's a neat feel. You get a vibe, I think, for kind of the energy of the city. And I can tell you that even, and maybe it's because I'm an outsider, I really noticed it change over the 6 months that I've been here. I'm getting a sense of kind of I just use the term energy, the mood, the rhythm of the city changing more kind of as we get back to something that resembles old normal.
Have you felt unsafe in Chicago? Because I went to Chicago for like a few morning show boot camps, radio conventions like 2 or 3 years ago when I was in Chicago. And like, there was definitely a weird vibe near like where WGN is, like that part of like Chicago by like the water. There's like a weird energy where after like 11 o'clock, if you're walking around drunk, like you want to go back to your hotel room. So I don't know. What's the energy
so
like?
So, by the way, we're across the street from GN, across the river from GN. I'm looking at the GN building as I'm sitting in my condo, so I could see it. Well, here's the double-edged sword to that. First off, I get up at 4 a.m. to go to work. I'm not wandering at 11 o'clock at night, so maybe I'm lucky in the sense of when all the bad guys come out, I don't see it. And maybe they've gone asleep by the time I walk to work at 4-something in the morning. But I have not felt unsafe. I think like any big city, and I travel a lot, you know, I lived in Los Angeles, I've been to New York, you know, I grew up a little bit in Washington, D.C. I've been to big cities. There are, I think there's kind of a reality that there's quote unquote bad parts of town in every town. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And maybe Chicago's might be a little bigger because of the size of the city. But I don't feel unsafe, and I hope I'm not just being stupid, but I mean, you know, crime happens, it's horrible, there are tragedies, don't get me wrong, but I don't feel uniquely unsafe being here in downtown Chicago.
I think what it is too, so I was dumb growing up like 9 years ago. Me and my friends were like, let's just drive around the ghetto where the rapper Chief Keef is from in Lil Durk.
Chief Keef is from.
Yeah. So we literally drove down like O Block, and like what you don't realize going into the ghetto, Bruce, you're going like the speed limit, you're going fast. And then all of a sudden you're like 9.5 miles in and you don't realize how massive it is. So I think it's another thing with Chicago is it's such a massive city that like it's its own city. Like the bad part of Chicago is like it could be the size of a city.
Along those lines, Ryan, you know, and again, what I'm learning is that this is a city of neighborhoods, and each neighborhood has kind of a vibe to it. Each neighborhood has a sense of culture, a sense of pride, if you will. And so, you know, you're right, you know, Oak Brook and Austin are very different, you know, and pretty good, huh? I'm not too bad for a new to Chicago. I'm learning how these different neighborhoods are individuals, but collectively make what is Chicago. So I find that pretty interesting. And again, I don't know if I've lived in a city in a while that the neighborhoods were so defined, I guess might be a way to put it.
So like 12 years ago, I had back surgery and I was like 15 or whatever. And I wasn't allowed to eat for the first day and drink after like surgery. And all I wanted was some McDonald's. And there was one right down the block from UIC. And my mom was going to go and she was like writing down the order or whatever. And the nurse is like, oh, no. You can't go to any McDonald's within this neighborhood. And she had to go all the way to like the Loop because this is like 2 a.m. And it's like my memory of like a Chicago neighborhood being defined is that literally they were like, no, you can't go to the drive-thru right now. Crazy.
Can I give you a similar story? And only because I'm a White Castle fan, and we didn't have White Castles in Arizona until about a year ago. We got one, and it was a huge deal. So anytime I'd come back around the Midwest, I'd go to White Castle. And I can't even tell you where I found the White Castle. I'm not going to lie. But it was right when I got here, and I walked in the White Castle. And it wasn't too late at night. It was, I think, regular dinner time, I'd call it. And I will tell you, it's the first fast food place I ever went into that looked like a bank from the standpoint of the people taking your order were on the other side of plexiglass. And you had to slide your money through a little slip and they slid your food out underneath it, which I was like, okay, first time I've ever had that. But I walked in, and this wonderful lady behind the counter, large black woman, it's important to the story, looked at me and said, "Ooh, child, you're not from around here." I said, "Yeah, but I like White Castle." She goes, "Come on, let me take care of you." I said, "Okay, yeah. Ooh, child." Apparently, they don't get a lot of people look like me walking in that White Castle.
What part of town was it in? Do you remember?
I honestly, more south side. It was more of south side. It was right on the border of one. But yeah, I just gotten here. Heck, I don't know if I could find it again if I tried.
I have a weird relationship with White Castle. I like it in the moment, and it's just, it's not even that it makes you sick. It's just driving home, I feel weird. You know what I mean?
You need to take a nap after you've had enough White Castle. You should lie down. You shouldn't operate heavy. Certainly not after White Castle.
So, how's everything been with the radio show? Because I can assume that you probably had consultants saying you should do it this way, and then the PD saying to do it this way. So how has everything been the first 5 months?
Well, you know, and working for a big company like Cumulus, which we're owned by, we don't have outside consultants. So I would argue we got plenty of them in the house, right? There's no reason to go outside. But I have a good working relationship with my general manager, with the program director, and, you know, they kind of knew what they were hiring. I mean, I wasn't an unknown commodity. They knew what I sound like. They knew what kind of show I do. And it is not dramatically different from what I did before. I would tell you, and anyone who's done a show with other people, you know, when you've had to do an ensemble show or had a partner or had somebody else, is, you know, I almost forgot how difficult it is, to get that rhythm amongst a group, to understand each other, to get the verbal cues without having to say things, you know, when you're having a conversation on the air. And I'd just gotten so used to it because I'd worked with my partner in Phoenix for about 8 years, you know, that it became second nature. And, you know, I would say the most difficult thing is less formatically kind of how to do the show and just kind of getting to know the people in the studio with me. And how we work together. And, you know, as a lead of a show, it's your job to also get good things out of those people. So that just takes time. I wish it would happen quicker. I'm impatient by nature, but I also realize it's kind of part of the gig.
So what are some ways that you are trying to get to know your team more?
Well, you know, one of the things, and listen, I'd love to tell you that there is a way that you can speed up time. But I think the reality is the more time you can spend, the more conversations you have, the more commonalities you can find, I think really help. And again, I use the term rhythm, and maybe it's my music background, you know, coming from music radio, that when you're in a room of people, you can feel when everybody's in sync and it's like you're on the beat, you know what I'm saying? And you get it and boom, 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 and you're hitting. And then you can feel when it doesn't. And I would tell you that when we first started, it was difficult. It felt disjointed. I felt uncomfortable. I think we're getting much better at it. And we have much more breaks and segments where we're in rhythm than we're out. When we're out of rhythm, we try to figure out why. Okay, so why didn't that work? You know, what did we miss in there? And I think as long as you're open to the idea of doing things a little differently, you know, this comes down to also respecting the people that you work with. Know that everybody's in there, wants to do a good job. Nobody showed up that morning trying to screw anything up. Hopefully you don't get angry at it. You know what I'm saying? I look at it like, okay, we can do better. I know we can do better. So what are we going to do?
So obviously, Love Cheese worked with ManCow for a whole lifetime. So what were some what were some of the things that he brought working with a guy like ManCow?
Well, you know, not only having worked with ManCow, but Cheese has obviously been here in Chicago for quite some time as well. So that really gives you a bit of a touchstone also in the studio. And he's in the studio with me. So it's me, Judy Pilak, and Cheese, and we're the three physically in the studio together, you know, having conversations during the show. But, you know, I think Cheese brings a variety of things. Obviously, being a producer at that high a level for so long, really, you don't do it by accident. You don't dumb luck your way into that. You know what I'm saying? From San Francisco to Chicago to the stations, I mean, he was indispensable. He has amazing production skills. I can tell you that as well. And that is something that's really awesome to be able to rely on, is somebody who can who can literally get down and immediately start editing something and put it together and turn it around. And it feels like seconds and you hear it back on the radio. And I love that in somebody who's in the studio with me doing it while we're doing it. And he's thinking like that, you know, and I appreciate that.
So,
seriously, so much. I also think one of the things is he's great on the radio, and not a slam on Mancow, just wasn't the show that Mancow did, but Cheese is getting an opportunity to be more of a personality as well and to put more of himself out there. You know, hey, we're talking about his son and the struggles he's having at school, and you know, you talk about him being divorced and things. Like, he has a story in and of himself that lends itself to a lot of our discussions, and so I really like kind of seeing him, I don't want to say coming out of his shell in a negative way, but getting a chance to really shine as a personality and not just as a producer.
So when you first joined, I remember when I added you on social media, you put up like, there was like a card that Mancow left on the board. What was the overall theme of the card?
So he left me a 6-pack of beer, not knowing I don't drink. I take no offense to it. I still have it in the studio. Don't worry. I have a 6-pack of beer in case of emergency, break open beer. But he left me a card and it just said, hey, best of luck. Don't suck. And I was like, you know what? Coming from Mancow, that's a good thing. And so I really appreciated that. It's certainly not adversarial. I had absolutely nothing to do with where he's going and his decisions. But I like that. And listen, I have a lot of respect for anybody that did radio again at such a high level for so long. And he'll do it again. I don't think he's done with radio by any stretch of the imagination. But it was complimentary, I promise. It wasn't a screw you. It was really kind of cool.
He seems like one of those guys where I don't want to say he got humble over age, but I feel like he's a different dude than he was when I grew up listening to him. You know what I mean?
Well, shouldn't we all be? I mean, on some level, like, shouldn't we all grow up a little bit? Shouldn't we learn? You know, hey, he, like me, he's made mistakes in his career along the way. You don't get to have a long career if you keep making the same damn mistakes over and over again. You know what I'm saying? Like, you better learn from some of them. You should be learning. You should be growing. And I think to do the type of shows we do and connect with an audience, you have to be yourself. And I, Mancow, you aren't the same person we were 10 years ago. We're in a different life group. We've had different experiences. We have different relationships, whatever it might be. And we have to evolve, or else you're faking it on the radio. And I think the audience can tell when you're faking.
How did you go from hip hop radio to talk radio? I find this fascinating.
I ask myself sometimes. So yeah, I had worked primarily in the rhythmic / hip hop side of radio, Phoenix and Los Angeles, and I was a program director. I mean, I was your boss. You know, I mean, if you think about it, I was one of the suits, although I rarely wore one of those, but. Yeah, I was in charge of the DJs, if you will, and I had an opportunity. We had a talk station as a sister station in Phoenix, and the program director at the time, wonderful, wonderful lady named Tisa, asked me to do some fill-in, just fill-in. She said, you're already here in the building, for God's sakes. I know you're a program director, but you have a personality. You're interested in current events. You can talk about the news. And so I just did some fill-in, and you know what? It was kind of fun. I was like, I kind of like doing the fill-in part. Flash forward, I'm now. Let's see. I was running a country and top and a hip and a rhythmic station. I was PD of both, and that talk station came back to me. That was KTAR years later, if you will, and said, Would you like to have your own show on the radio? And I got to tell you, you know, when you're a program director, you've got the corner office, if you will. You're one of the bosses. It was a tough decision, but it was one of those things where I said to myself, if I don't try, if I don't see what this is like, I'm going to regret it for the rest of my life. I have to try and see if I can do this. See if I can be competent. See if I can excel at being a talk show host. With my worst case scenario, if I fail at it, I could always go back and be a program director. And so that's kind of how I came to that decision of evolving. And it really just came from doing some fill-in work and bits and pieces and part-time, if you will, just because it was something fun to do. I just did it because I kind of like talking on the radio.
It seems like in life, especially in radio, whenever you take a big risk is when you usually win. It's when you like wait too long to take the risk is when things don't work out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, I've always heard this, and gosh, I wish I could credit somebody with it. It might be one of those posters you buy it in the mall framed for inspiration, but it's people talk about, you know, they have a fear of failure. You know, I'm afraid of failing. You didn't do something because you were afraid of failing. I think the reality is it's a fear of success. What if I'm really good at this? What if this fundamentally changes my life? What if, you know, and so I've tried not to be afraid of success. You know what? Don't be afraid to take the jump. Don't be afraid to do things. And hey, jumping from, I've lived in Phoenix for a long time. I've been on air in Phoenix. I've as a talk show host, been on air on the music station, program director of about four different stations in town, and been there for almost 20 years. I mean, that's a pretty big move to just up and leave and head to Chicago, for goodness, by the way, in December. Do we need to bring that up again, how cold it was?
No, we don't.
But yeah, don't be afraid of success. It's not fear of failure, because I think the reality is that any, regardless of what industry you're in, regardless of what job you do, you're going to have some bumps along the way. You're going to fail at some things. That's almost the guarantee. The guarantee is there will be failure along the way. Don't be afraid of success. Don't be afraid to really succeed at something. And so that's kind of, you know, if you have that as a bit of a philosophy, it makes a little bit of the big decisions easier.
So when it's all said and done, what do you want your legacy in radio to be?
Oh, God. Oh, see, you know, and I know you're asking this coming from a good place. I don't feel remotely done.
Yeah.
Like in the sense of like, I realize I'm getting older. I realize, you know, I go back and like, oh my God, I worked at Power 106 in 1998. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, wait a minute. I'm an old man, doc. You know, I mean, like I'm getting up there, but I still, you know, I still have an energy for radio. I still am excited by it. I still, you know, I get all hyped up when I get to go on the radio every morning, even though it's 5:30. I love that first break. I'm coming out of the gate. I can't wait to crack the mic and get going. So I think my story's yet to be written, and I think my biggest successes are yet to come. I still believe that, you know, and I kind of have to believe that. I don't want to think I'm on some sort of a downhill. Hell, I've managed to fail my way upwards all the way to Chicago doing morning. So, yeah, who knows what's next, right?
So where can people find your show, and what is your plan for your show going into 2022? Okay. So what do you see happening this second half of the year?
So WLSAM.com is the website. Also, you can access all the podcasts through there. We have it on iTunes, et cetera. We also stream through the iHeart app. You know, a lot of people use that app to access, so you can find WLS that way. I'm on Monday through Friday, 5:30 to 9 a.m. And really what my vision, if you will, my hope for the show is that we represent Chicago, that everything we do goes through a Chicago lens. I think there's plenty of radio out there, I would say sadly, that is generic to a fault, that is national, that's syndicated. And you know what? People that do that, good for them, and there's a place for it. I think there needs to be a place that is about the neighborhoods in Chicago, that's about the vibe in the city, that's about the things going on, that's about Navy Pier and the Shedd Museum. You know, it's about the stuff that is here. And so we really try to reflect that. It's not about politics. It's not about sports. It's not about current events. It's not about local politicians. It's about all of it. It's about all of it. And we run the gamut in a show of touching on everything from a Friends reunion, to the latest mask mandate to what the hell's going on with the White Sox, you know? And so we try to kind of reflect the way I think people live their lives. They're not all one subject all the time. They're not all one topic. They have a variety of different interests, and we try to reflect that on the radio and have intelligent and interesting conversations about them.
Well, man, it's been a lot of fun having you on the show. I predict you will do very well in Chicago, because growing up, you had Brandmeier, you had Mankind, yeah, Eddie and Jobo. And then when those guys left, there was literally nothing on the radio but sports radio. And it was just, like you said, very bland. And then it just kind of led me to get serious radio before I left Chicago. So I think you will do big things because there's really nothing on in Chicago at all.
Well, you're very, very kind. And those names you mentioned are all legends in our industry. And listen, it's not lost on me that I'm on a radio station in Chicago that some of the, not just Chicago personalities, some of the greatest personalities in radio have worked on. And I take that very seriously. And I think there's a standard that you have to live up to. So I thank you for the kind words.
Awesome. Thank you, bro.
Have a great day.
All right. You too, Bruce.